Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, the last Sunday after the season we call Epiphany, a day in which our readings have apocalyptic language, describing chariots and horses of fire, of clothes dazzling white, whiter than any bleach could make them. So today's readings would challenge the technology of film studios and even, with computer-driven digital imagery, the techno wizards would fall short trying to display the glory, the awesome glory of God. And who would star in roles or have the acting skills to convey that glory moment of Jesus or the inner tenacity and faithfulness of Elisha? Yes, if we turned over the readings for Transfiguration to movie directors and technology video specialists, they could not capture what Peter, James, and John witnessed. These were not displays of pyrotechnics. These were keystone moments of interior change. And the radiant repercussions are meant for us to receive today. You have a front row seat in the theater of God's powerful word. And it is not a matter of hanging on right now with white knuckles as if you were at a science fiction thriller. This goes deeper. These moments of divine revelation are the building blocks for the future ministries of Peter, James, John, Elisha, and therefore you and me. So let yourself go into this gospel scene. Let yourself be on the road with Elisha. Try to enter the feelings of the apostles who were terrified, because you have had terrifying moments. You have had moments where you felt frozen by the unknown. So in the complexities of this 21st century, we are afraid sometimes. We're afraid to go forward out of fear. Fear of what others might say or do to us. In fact, we might feel speechless if you were asked to describe who Jesus is for you. So it is inspiring to realize that 2,000 years ago, people who had never heard of Jesus, after hearing all 16 chapters of Mark's gospel read all at once, because that's how they did it, remember, they chose to change their lives and became Christian. And this particular transfiguration scene in Mark's gospel is halfway through the gospel. Last Sunday, we were just ending chapter 1. Today, we're in chapter 9. And previous to this chapter, Jesus heals a blind man. Jesus announces that he would eventually undergo great suffering, which Peter misunderstands and rebukes him for that announcement. And then Jesus tells the crowd that the cost of discipleship is to take up your cross and follow him. So in these dramatic moments leading up to the transfiguration, there is a backdrop of blindness and misunderstanding and even resistance to what Jesus is teaching about following him. So if you were a gospel reader 2,000 years ago, at this moment, I imagine you would slow down and look around and see if people were listening and receiving the gospel. And just as they did, we struggle to hear, to see, and to comprehend, let alone believe. And yet we're called to believe in the reality that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and what it is to follow him. We too must confront our blindness, our misunderstandings, and our resistance to Jesus' teaching about the cross. Let us fast forward right now. Do you ever wonder what it would have been like to have actually met Jesus when he was on earth? Do you ever wonder what it would have been like to have followed him and to watch him heal and teach and pray? Have you ever tried to picture him in your mind? Is your Jesus tall or short? Is he of dark complexion? Does he have a beard and long hair? And what color were his eyes? And I wonder what his voice sounded like, that voice that got right into the soul. So this scene of the Transfiguration is of a very human Jesus who suddenly is radiantly alive in glory, not of this world. And in that moment, his true identity is revealed. Listeners of Mark's gospel would not have missed the point of seeing Elijah on one side of him, who was a forerunner. He ascended into heaven. And then the other side was Moses. He too, at one point, had been transformed. His face and hair began to shine after he was exposed to the glory of God in a burning bush. Moses was transformed because of time spent with God. Jesus was transformed because he was God. That is what Peter, James, and John saw. The glory of God in Jesus. The three were given the privilege of not just seeing, but hearing. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. So Peter, James, and John needed this experience because of what was next in the life of Christ. Because in the following chapters of Mark, Jesus will continue to teach and heal, but these activities will lead them to see him die on a cross. So the apostles will not fully understand yet who Jesus was until his resurrection appearances. But it was this transfiguration moment that you heard today that began to prepare them. In their mountaintop moment, there was some kind of recognition of an eternal presence. Peter even tried to sound articulate, hoping to somehow hold on to this amazing moment by offering to build dwellings. But I imagine as they walked down that mountain, the voice, "Listen to him," reverberated in their hearts. And we have this moment in Scripture because they held on to it. Once Jesus ascended into heaven, they were invested to carry out the mission. If others were going to see God's glory, it would have to be through these disciples. God entrusted these ordinary disciples to carry the precious gospel to others. And so it is today. We are entrusted to carry this precious gospel to others. You have heard the scripture readings. So remember this transfiguration scene. Process it. Talk about it. Pray about it. And sift through the apocalyptic scenes sift through this emotional moment for Peter, James, and John. Speaking of people dealing with emotional challenges, I recently saw the movie The Descendants, which was about an emotionally challenged husband and father. In the course of the movie, we follow the emotions of Matt, played by George Clooney, wrestling with feelings as he faced the impending death of his wife, the discovery of her unfaithfulness, the reactions of his daughters, and the people and circumstances surrounding the sale of an historical parcel of land in Hawaii. For myself, after leaving the theater, I needed to talk about it. In the same way, we need to talk about the gospel stories when we leave church. We need to talk about them with one another and let them get deep inside. Because these scenes are keystone moments that began interior change for Peter, James, and John, and therefore for us. Because this was and is a God moment. God broke through and continues to break through ordinary moments, whether climbing a mountain, doing the dishes, sitting in front of your computer, walking your dog. God is trying to break through and say to you, listen to him. Now, the season of Lent begins this week. It is meant to be a time of deliberate action, discipline, and prayer. This time is meant to invite all of us into a deeper listening. If we truly understood the power and the Spirit of God, we would begin to let go of difficult moments and let God's love lead us. So by giving God any unresolved issue, we're beginning to let go of our personal fears, and we can become the light of God for others. So like Elisha, choose to walk each day focused on your mission. Like Peter, James, and John, choose to walk in your path with Christ. Choose to follow your calling to become all the disciple of Jesus Christ you are meant to be. Because the radiant repercussions of this transfiguration scene are meant for us to receive. They are the building blocks for our future ministries, our service, and our presence in the world. Believe that in each of you is a light just waiting to break through to its full glory. Amen.